Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, 21 September 2025, Romans.
All right, before we get started, a couple of announcements. First of all, Mr. Jim down here has a birthday on Wednesday. 17, and you've never been kissed? Is that right? Yeah. You've been kissed 75 times? 175, I've been. And there's a teacher's meeting after class, after the second class teacher's meeting. All right. There you go. And the other thing, you better behave yourself. Because the Cougars lost to the damn Huskies. So you better behave yourself. Now, I know Plus H is with you 24/7 at all times. It is. But when my brother, Don, played on the Washington State football team, starting defensive end, they never lost to those damn Huskies, never. And when I was on the track team at Washington State, we never lost to those damn Huskies. So, am I sharing the happiness of God? Hell yes, I am. You know. Just behave yourself. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God first of all this morning to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, in fact, we being spiritually mature believers, we know that to the ones who love God, that's the key, to the ones who love God, personal love for God the Father, personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ, in other words, spiritually mature believers only, to the ones who love God, all things work together for the purpose of good. That's absolutely true. All things work together for good to those who love God. Now, to love God, you have to know God. And the Apostle Paul is putting the spotlight on God's divine essence, His attributes. Come on in. We're in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. You all have Bibles? All right. If you don't have one, we'll get you one. All right. Romans 8:28. In fact, we know that to the ones who love God, all things work together for the purpose of good. So the Apostle Paul is putting the spotlight on the very essence of God. To love God, you have to know God. And that means you need to know His attributes, His essence. God is one in essence and three in personality. There are three persons in the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the three persons of the Godhead have the exact same essence, the same attributes: sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence, immutability, and veracity. So to love God, you have to know God. So we have been going through who and what God is, His essence, His attributes. We've studied the sovereignty of God already. We've studied the righteousness of God and the justice of God. And we are part way through studying the love of God. Divine love related to all the other attributes of God. Divine love is compatible with all the other attributes of God. Divine love is a manifestation of all of the attributes of God. God is sovereign, and therefore His love is self-motivated and compatible with the divine decrees and all other divine decisions in eternity past, in time, and in eternity future. God is eternal. And therefore, God's love exists eternally. There never was a time when God was not love. God's love never had a beginning, but has always existed. Because God is eternal, He gives His divine love whether there is any occasion or not, whether there is any object or not. God is holy. He is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And since God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice, God has impersonal love for all of His creatures, even when they are in spiritual death and totally depraved. The love of God possesses perfect integrity, which includes incorruptible justice and immutable righteousness. And this means the love of God is perfect and eternal virtue. It is infinite virtue love. God is immutable and unchangeable, and therefore His divine love is unchangeable. It cannot be corrupted or frustrated or changed or compromised by man's failures or flaws or sins or human good or evil or any other function of the sin nature. God has always had maximum virtue love. Because God is immutable, His love cannot vacillate or change. This means that God's love does not increase nor decrease, does not improve or decline. God's love is never disappointed, never frustrated, never distracted. God is omniscient, divine knowledge and the omniscience of God does not cancel or change God's love. God knows every thought that every person ever had throughout history. Many of the thoughts about God are not kind, but that doesn't change God at all. God's love doesn't stop and turn away because someone insults or blasphemes him. You don't have the power or the ability to change God's love because his love is perfect virtue love. Because God foreknew human failure, he did not cancel his love for those who fail. And the principle is, God does not condone sin, but he doesn't stop loving the sinner. Another principle we saw, God does not condone legalism or human good works, but he doesn't stop loving the legalist or the self-righteous believer or person who is full of his own self-importance. God has never canceled his love for his creatures, even though his creatures have other ideas about him. God is truth, veracity, and therefore divine love is revealed and integrated in every category of the Word of God. Bible doctrine is the thinking, it's the mind of Christ. The Word of God, the mind of Christ, the voice of the Spirit. And therefore, divine love is rooted in every form of knowledge which resides in his perfect, eternal, absolute being. And God is infinite. And therefore, all members of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, are without boundary or limitation. God unites in himself those perfections which belong to his person and his essence, and this includes his divine virtue love. And then we noted under point two, certain applications are made by faith as we begin to understand God's love. Since divine integrity, absolute righteousness, and perfect justice is incorruptible, immutable, infinite, and unchanging virtue, God's virtue love can never be compromised or its capacity diminished or limited. Man's sinfulness and failure cannot and does not change or affect God's perfect, eternal, immutable virtue love for us. And therefore, even when we are under divine discipline, and there are times God has to spank us. He's made that clear. When we make bad decisions, when we make bad decisions to live our life out of fellowship with God by the lust patterns of the sin nature and Satan's cosmic system, God has to spank us. But that doesn't, when he spanks us because he loves us. He loves us, and therefore he spanks us. And that's divine discipline is based on God's love for each one of us. So man's sinfulness and failure cannot and does not change or affect God's perfect, eternal, immutable virtue love for us. And therefore, even when we are under divine discipline, that divine discipline that we receive is from his virtue love. And we saw that in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. Those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. When we make bad decisions, he doesn't want to see you crash and burn. And so when he sees you making bad decisions, he disciplines us to get your attention so that you come to your senses, get back into fellowship with God by naming your sins to him, acknowledging them to him. Get back into fellowship with him, the filling of the Spirit and the spiritual life, and move on. So because he loves us, he disciplines us. Even God's pre-knowledge and eternity past of our sins and failures cannot cancel or diminish God's virtue love for us. Because God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice, His divine virtue love cannot be prejudiced or unfair. It is never discriminating. Because God is holy, His love can only function in perfect virtue and integrity. Rejection of God's love never results in any form of sinful or evil reaction from God. God's love does not change. Divine love is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Divine love, connected with the justice of God, performs punitive action, but this does not change the virtue love behind that punitive action. Hebrews 12, verse 6. The combination of God's absolute righteousness and perfect justice and love demands that we receive logistical grace, blessing, and support down that grace pipeline from the justice of God on one end to the imputed righteousness of God in the believer on the other end, that we be kept alive whether we are making good decisions or bad decisions. All logistical grace blessing comes from the justice of God to the imputed righteousness of God. Punitive action does not imply any change in God's love. We receive divine discipline at certain points, and we receive divine blessing at certain points. God blesses and loves us with infinite personal love because we have His imputed righteousness. Now, we're going to take it from here and still studying the love of God. There are two categories of divine love. Two categories of divine love. Category number one is divine personal love. Category number one, divine personal love. Category number two, God's impersonal love toward all of His creation. So two categories of divine love. Divine personal love, category number one, and God's impersonal love toward all His creation. So let's start out with divine personal love. And in divine personal love, the spotlight is placed on the object. The spotlight is placed on the object in divine personal love because that object has plus R. The object has God's absolute righteousness. Now, what happens at that moment that you come to the cross and place your faith in Jesus Christ? At that very moment of faith in Jesus Christ, God the Father imputes to you His righteousness. And you are declared to be justified. Justification by faith. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. So at that moment of faith in Christ, God imputes His righteousness to you. Now you have in you His absolute righteousness. And also at the very same time, God the Holy Spirit takes you and enters you into union with Jesus Christ, and now you share the absolute righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that today, us, church age saints, in the church age, we're living in the church age, began at Pentecost, concludes with the rapture. We're living in this great dispensation, the church age, and in this dispensation, everyone who believes in Christ has a double portion of God's absolute righteousness. And what does that mean? He loves us with infinite personal love, because God loves His righteousness. Wherever His righteousness resides, God loves His righteousness with infinite personal love. So, the spotlight in divine personal love is on the object. It's on God's absolute righteousness. So, let's amplify this a little bit. One, divine personal love emphasizes the perfection of the object. Divine personal love emphasizes the perfection of the object. Two, the object of divine personal love is divine perfect righteousness. The object of divine personal love is divine perfect righteousness. The scriptures declare that God loves His righteousness. God loves His absolute righteousness. Wherever His absolute righteousness resides, He loves His absolute righteousness with infinite personal love. So three, divine personal love is defined as divine love being attracted to divine righteousness. Wherever that divine righteousness resides, God loves that person with divine, infinite, personal love. Now, point four. Each person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the three members of the Godhead all have the same essence, the same attributes, and they all have God's absolute righteousness. God the Father has absolute righteousness. God the Son has absolute righteousness. God the Holy Spirit has absolute righteousness. So each person of the Trinity possesses divine personal love. Five, each person of the Trinity directs his personal love toward the other persons in the Godhead who possess co-equal and co-eternal absolute righteousness. Each person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they direct divine personal love toward the other persons in the Godhead because they possess co-equal and co-eternal absolute righteousness. Six, believers, the person who comes to the cross and place his faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, salvation is by faith, by grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this salvation is not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Believers are recipients of divine personal love because they have the perfect righteousness of God. Believers are recipients of divine personal love because they have the perfect righteousness of God. If you're here this morning and you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you have God's absolute righteousness, and He loves you. He loves you with infinite divine personal love because you have His absolute righteousness. Since the Father's absolute righteousness is imputed to the believer at the very moment of salvation, faith in Christ, and since the Son's absolute righteousness is shared through the baptism of the Spirit, being in union with Christ, believers in the church age have a double portion of God's absolute righteousness. And this is a fantastic blessing of being a member of the royal family of God in the church age. 7. The possession of divine absolute righteousness means 3 things. The possession of divine absolute righteousness means 3 things. First of all, justification. Justification at the moment of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. At that moment of faith in Christ, God the Father imputes His righteousness to you and He declares you to be justified. Declared righteous, absolute righteousness. Justification by faith in Christ. Secondly, the believer is the object of God's personal love after salvation. The believer is the object of God's personal love after salvation. 3, the believer is blessed instantly. Do you see that at that moment of salvation, a grace pipeline was established? You came to the cross, placed your faith in Jesus Christ, and at that moment of faith in Christ, the justice of God imputed to each one of you His absolute righteousness. And that established a grace pipeline. With the justice of God on one end and His absolute righteousness in you on the other end. And immediately down that grace pipeline comes blessing, blessing, blessing. Because God loves His absolute righteousness with infinite personal love. So He set up this grace pipeline. And right at the moment of salvation, right away, God sends down that grace pipeline 40 salvation blessings. Now, you don't know that at the moment you believe in Christ. I believed in Christ. I had no idea there were 40 salvation blessings. But as I grew up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, as the Lord led me, and the Lord will lead you too, the Lord led me to a sound Bible teaching church. That sound Bible teaching church was in Pullman, Washington, Bethany Bible Church. Sound Bible teacher, Ron Breckel, trained at Dallas Theological Seminary. Excellent, excellent Bible teacher. In fact, and I've told you this many times, but when I was down at Baraka in Houston, sitting with the colonel, he said, "Now, Dick, I want you to go back and you talk to Ron Breckel, Pastor Breckel. You talk to him and you tell him he's doing the best job in the entire nation teaching the Bible. You tell him that for me." I said, "Okie dokie." And it was so fun. We went to a special dinner. Pullman is very small. You want to go to a special dinner, you go down to Lewiston. You go down to Lewiston Grade, to Lewiston, and there's a nice pizza place in there or something. Go down to Lewiston. And it's at Lewiston Grade. I mean, it's steep, and you only go about 30 miles an hour. My track coach, we were running a track meet down in Lewiston. We're going down, and there's a bunch of cattle on the hillside. He said, "You know, Dick, see those cattle? See them walking along the side of the hill? Those have been specially developed. Though they have the 2 legs on the inside are shorter than the 2 legs on the outside." And I believed him. So you see, there's not much hope for Norwegians. See, I believed him. Yeah. I started telling that to other people, and they just... Yeah. 40 salvation blessings as soon as you believe in Christ. And then, every day from that day of salvation right up to this morning, God has been sending down that grace pipeline, logistical grace, blessing, and support, temporal security to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world, keep you alive so that you can make good decisions for God and the Word of God, good decisions to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And when you make those good decisions and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you attain spiritual maturity. And when you attain spiritual maturity, God sends down that grace pipeline, greater grace blessings. Greater grace blessings in time, and greater grace blessings to be awarded at the judgment seat of Christ, called crowns and rewards, given to those spiritually mature winner believers. And they all come down this fantastic grace pipeline because we have God's righteousness. And God loves us with infinite personal love because we have His righteousness at the moment of faith in Christ. 8. Divine personal love is attracted to divine righteousness. Divine personal love is attracted to divine righteousness. 9. God cannot love us with divine personal love until we are saved by faith in Christ and have His righteousness. His absolute righteousness. God cannot love us with divine personal love until we are saved through faith in Christ and have His absolute righteousness. That's divine personal love. That's the first category. Category number one, divine personal love. Category number two, divine impersonal love. And in divine impersonal love, the spotlight is on the subject. Divine personal love, the spotlight is on the object, having absolute righteousness. Divine impersonal love, the spotlight is on the subject. So, one, divine impersonal love always emphasizes the virtue, the honor, and the integrity of the subject, the one doing the loving. The one doing the loving. Divine impersonal love always emphasizes the virtue, honor, and integrity of the subject. The one doing the loving. Two, in the case of God, He is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. Therefore, under the principle of impersonal love, God loves unbelievers in the human race because of who and what He is, not because of who and what the unbeliever is. In the case of God, the spotlight is on Him, His absolute righteousness and perfect justice, His infinite holiness. So the spotlight is on God in divine impersonal love. And therefore, under the principle of divine impersonal love, God loves the whole world, all mankind, unbelievers, because of who and what He is, not who and what man is. 3. God loves the spiritually dead person who has no merit at all with impersonal love. God loves the spiritually dead person who has no merit at all with impersonal love. Being able to come to God for salvation through faith in Christ does not depend on what kind of a person we are. For God's impersonal love depends upon who and what God is, never upon who and what man is. God's impersonal love depends upon who and what God is, never, never upon who and what man is. Five, divine impersonal love is directed toward totally unworthy creatures. Unbelievers in spiritual death and totally depraved. Divine impersonal love is directed toward totally unworthy members of humanity. Unbelievers in spiritual death and totally depraved. Sixth, divine impersonal love is the pattern for the believer in God's plan for you. God wants you to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the ultimate objective for your life in the church age is to attain spiritual maturity, have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, so that then you will have personal love for God the Father, the great motivational virtue, which will motivate impersonal love for the whole world. Impersonal love for all mankind, the great functional virtue. That's the ultimate objective that God has for each one of your life. He wants you to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attain spiritual maturity, have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, and then for you to love everyone, all mankind, with infinite impersonal love for all. Impersonal love for all mankind. So point four again, God's impersonal love depends upon who and what God is, never who and what man is. Five, divine impersonal love is directed toward totally unworthy creatures, unbelievers in spiritual death and totally depraved. Six, divine impersonal love is the pattern for the believer to have impersonal love for all mankind in his own life. Seven, because God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice, God's virtue love is devoid of unfairness or prejudice or discrimination toward members of the human race. Because God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice, God's virtue love is devoid of unfairness, prejudice, and discrimination toward members of the human race. Spiritual death means total depravity, total separation from God, and total inability to do anything about it. Eight, God loves man under spiritual death through his impersonal love for all. God loves man under spiritual death through the function of his impersonal love for all. Now, I've been giving you these points. You've been logging them down, getting them down in your notebook. Now, let's look at the scripture for each category. First of all, scriptural documentation for divine impersonal love for all. Scriptural documentation for divine impersonal love for all. Now you all know this verse. I'm sure you all memorized it. John 3:16. There was a fellow that would go to football games, and they would show him in the stands. He would show up, stand a placard, John 3:16. I think he got the name, John 3:16, what they call it. You probably all know this verse. It teaches God the Father's impersonal love for the whole world. For God loved the world so much. He loved the world so much. Impersonal love for all mankind in spiritual death. That he gave his uniquely born Son, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God, and his salvation work on the cross, that everyone who believes in him, faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, shall never perish, but have eternal life. God loved the world, the whole world, with infinite, impersonal love for all mankind. This verse teaches God's love toward us in two ways. First of all, God gave us eternal life at the moment of faith in Christ. First of all, God gave us eternal life at the moment of faith in Christ. Secondly, God gave us eternal security at the moment of salvation. We will never perish. Eternal security. You can never lose your salvation. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, and you can never lose your salvation, eternal security. Another scripture, Romans 5:8. And this teaches our Lord's impersonal love for us. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, this is as unbelievers, objects of his divine impersonal love, Christ died as a substitute for us. When we were sinners, when we were spiritually dead, when we were totally depraved, as unbelievers, God demonstrates his own love toward us, divine impersonal love, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died as a substitute for us. Another passage, 1 John 4:9-10. 1 John 4:9-10. By this, the unconditional, impersonal love of God the Father for all mankind was manifested in our case among us, namely, that God has sent his unique Son into the world for the purpose that we might have eternal life by the agency of him, Jesus Christ. In this is virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all. Absolutely not that we had loved God, but that he, God the Father, loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And then 1 Peter 3:18. Because Christ also died once as a substitute for our sins. Impersonal love for the sins of the whole world. Christ also died once as a substitute for our sins. The righteous one, the impeccability of the humanity of Christ, as a substitute for the unrighteous ones, that is, the whole world as unbelievers. Impersonal love for all mankind. But he made alive by means, he was made alive, Jesus Christ, by means of the Spirit, his resurrection from the dead. So, these are all passages which document the impersonal love of God for all mankind. Now, there are scriptures of divine personal love for the believer who has the absolute righteousness of God. The unbeliever doesn't have the righteousness of God until he believes in Christ. Then God gives him his righteousness, but the believer has the righteousness of God, so these passages deal with divine personal love. But we're going to take a break. We're going to take a break and give you a few moments to, if you're too cold in here, I keep it cold in here so you don't fall asleep on me. It works for some people, but not all people. Some still fall asleep. You can go out and warm up and then come back in about 15 for part two.